Good morning. So this past week, 12 of us got to go to Texas to a conference and kind of rebuild spiritually, help us build our love for Christ and our love for the local church. It was a terrific week. One of the really cool things was the 12 of us getting to know each other better. And one morning we were talking about odd things that we developed, habits we developed as kids, and it kind of went toward food. And one of them was Jose. Jose loves ants, and he loves to eat ants. He grew up in the Dominican, and there's always ants on his food. His mom said, don't worry about it. There's just lots of protein in them. Well, Jose wanted to be strong, so he ate the ants. Another one was Alex Aguilar. He can eat a bread, cheese, and mayo sandwich anytime, anywhere, still to this age. Loves those, and if you don't have cheese, that's fine. He'll eat just bread and a mayo sandwich. And then my favorite, the one that I threw in was, I love a big, hot bowl of chili, and to take a cold glass of milk and pour it on the chili, and then that's why I eat my chili. So where do we develop these habits from? Where do they come from? Well, many of our habits that we develop in our lives, we develop as children. And they last for a lifetime. And habits can either bring great life or be life-giving habits. And so they really add to your life, or they can be life-devastating and pull from your life. That's why parenting is so important. In parenting, we want to develop healthy habits into our children's lives. So I'm just going to take just a few minutes and walk you through just one habit that I want to take a look at and encourage you with this morning. We're going to Hebrews 12, and it starts out with this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's what we want for our kids, right? That is the view of our kids' lives, is that they are going to live a life. What we want is for them to be able to persevere and go through life's trials, go through life's opportunities, and really succeed out through the end. That's what we'd love to have them see. And here he says, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Imagine giant roots that just kind of grab a hold of you and pull you back and pull you under. And you're experiencing this right now. All of you, I could come out and find your story, and you'd be able to tell me about, yeah, I got this thing in my life. It just keeps pulling me under. So one of the habits would be to do that, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. He says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. The idea is that you look at something by looking away from something else. You look away from the sin, you look away from those other habits or things that pull you down, and you're focused on who Jesus is. You make your decisions, you take your actions by focusing on who Jesus is, which also would be a great habit, but that's not the one we're going to talk about today. It says this. Now, how did he do that? Like, how did he do it? It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did he live his life? How did he finish strong? He endured an incredible obstacle, the cross. How did he do it? He scorned its shame. That's the habit we're going to talk about. First principle, if you have any notes, anything you can write this down on, you might want to jot this down. This is not the point of the day, but it's important. God does not motivate us by shame. He motivates us by joy. That goes against everything we naturally feel or think. We naturally feel or think God, he just wants to point out everything we do wrong, and he wants to shame us into changing. That's not what he does. Jesus did not endure the shame because of shame. He endured the shame because of the joy set before him. That's what he had his eyes on, was the joy that was set before him. He scorned its shame. What does it mean to scorn shame? This is not really an emotional term. It's not like, oh, yuck. It's the idea of despise, to treat something as light, unimportant, of no value. It's to treat something as if that doesn't really matter. That is not on my radar. I am not concerned with that. There's a story that Martin Luther King Jr. tells of some folks that did exactly this. He uses this illustration to illustrate what does it mean to scorn shame. Now, the terms I use here, you might be tempted to shame me, but they're his terms, so just leave me out of it. Ordinarily, threats of Klan action were a signal to the Negroes to go into the houses, close the doors, pull the shades, turn off all the lights. Fearing death, they played dead. But this time, they had prepared a surprise. When the Klan arrived, according to the newspapers, about 40 carloads of robed and hooded members, porch lights were on, doors were open. As the Klan drove by, the Negroes behaved as though they were watching a circus parade. Concealing the effort it cost them, many walked about as usual. Some simply watched from their steps. A few waved as the cars passed by, and after a few blocks, they drove away. They did not get rid of the shame. They did not run away from the shame. They didn't complain about the shame. They scorned it. They said, that is not important. The Klan was heaping shame on them, and they said, no. We're not going to live by that. We're not going to react to that. That's what it means to scorn the shame. When Christ went to the cross, it was full of shame. First of all, you're naked on the cross. This is the King of the universe. He's naked on the cross. The cross represents total loss and failure. The cross represents guilt and shame. Everyone around Christ was heaping shame on him. The soldiers, Pilate, the Jews. He scorned it. He said no. Now, as parents, we are very tempted to protect our children. Matter of fact, as parenting experts and articles that you read a lot about this. You hear a lot about this. You watch parents do this. They're like, listen, I'm going to make sure my kid's a winner. I'm going to make sure he wins all the time, because if he wins all the time and feels really good about himself all the time, and he doesn't have to go through really hard things, and if he doesn't have to face death, and if he doesn't have to face bullies, if I'm going to make sure he never has to face that stuff, then he's going to be a winner. This principle, this habit, says the exact opposite. No. I'm going to walk my kid into those situations. I'm going to teach him the habit of scorning the shame. The world is going to pour shame on your children. What we want to do as parents is help them develop the habit of scorning, despising, ignoring the shame. Lacia and her cousin were playing in their grandparents' basement on that terrible day. A gas leak ignited and caused the whole house to blow up. Already a fighter, Lacia pulled herself up out of the rubble. Flames still covered her little body, so she rolled in the dirt and snow to put them out. It was all face, hands, back, and parts, where I had synthetic on where the blast burned around my waist, she says. Lucia's own grandfather did not recognize her. She spent several months in the hospital, ongoing surgeries, skin grafts. Once released, Lacia's scars drew stares and lots of questions about, why do you look like that? What happened? When I was burned, everything in my life changed, she said. My friendship changed. I hated going to school. You are coping with things you never had to cope with before. People staring at you and asking these questions. It's shame. And shame doesn't just come from the outside. Sometimes the worst shame actually comes from the inside. Many times people say, hey, you just need to get to know yourself. And you need to find the good within yourself. All of us who've spent much time inside of ourselves, what do we find out? We're brutal. Full of shame. That's where lots of the voices come from. Lucia could have remained withdrawn her whole life. When bad things happen, we can always choose to retreat or let God give our pain purpose. Lucia chose the latter, realizing she was put on earth to do more than just survive. My life got better when I started to look at my life as a gift, Lucia said. She created an organization which offers a week-long supportive retreat for young girls to help them to heal heal emotionally. The common denominator among burn survivors is the feeling of being alone. Even when you have amazing support, once you go to a gathering of survivors, you no longer have that sense of being alone. Lucia's Angel Faces retreat allow the girls to bond with fellow burn victims, helping them escape the feelings of intense loneliness. Lucia always talks about not wasting your pain. She knows that for some it's easy to go into depression, but she makes you so excited. When you talk to her, you can't stop smiling, says Adriana Ramirez, who accidentally tripped and spilled hot cooking oil over 40% of her body. I didn't want any of the girls to go through what I had gone through, she says. We offer a place where the girls can go and lay down their social armor, lay down their swords, and begin to really heal. Lucia is a beautiful testament of how our Lord works. There will always be pain and suffering in this broken world, but for those who turn it over to God and allow Him to use it, amazing things can happen. This is an incredible habit. The habit of not running from shame, not fearing shame, but scorning it. Understanding, wait a minute, if my eyes are on Christ, Christ died on the cross to make me holy and pure and acceptable. What He makes me when I come into His family, it's incredible. There is no shame. Are you teaching that habit to your children? Maybe before we ask that question, we should ask, are we practicing that habit? Have you developed a personal habit of focusing on what Christ says is true about you versus what you say about you and what the world says about you? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this habit. We pray for the very children that we're going to dedicate today, that mom and dad will be able to grab a hold of this principle and be able to put it into practice. I pray for our church, that our church will be a place where these children can be safe and they can grow. They can bring their shame to us. And they can watch that we are able to scorn it, to put it in its right place, because we have our eyes on You. In Your name we pray. Amen.